Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, my goodness, people, it's February 1st. It's Thursday, February 1st. My good, oh, man, January's gone. Oh, wow, February. Thursday the 1st. And it's 12:04 Pacific time. It's 2018, by the way. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 46 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 52 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and spring-like weather. And looking at the long-range forecast, it's in the 50s. Wow, I'm not complaining. I will not complain about that. That being said, let's see what's on the itinerary for today. Immigrants sent $140 billion from the U.S. back to homelands in 2016. Well, of course they did. And we're going to get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Let's go hang out in a mall. All the mall. Smoke is born. Let's go hang out in a church. We'll go find lunch. And we'll haul ass down through the abbey. Is it money? Is it fame? What's in a name? Shame. Is it money? Is it fame? Or were they always? It's a crazy, crazy mixed up town. It's the rattlesnake I feel.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. Immigrants sent $140 billion from U.S. back to homelands in 2016. This is from Breitbart. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on From the Trenches, WorldReport.com. Legal and illegal immigrants wired almost $140 billion from the United States back to their home countries and foreign relatives in 2016. The huge loss of domestic spending by the immigrants' remittances is spotlighted in a new report by the Pew Research Center. Now, shouldn't Trump have grabbed that $140 billion? That was enough to do the wall that he said that they were going to pay. I mean, all of it. What is any money being shipped out of this? What are people over here making our money to send back to their goddamn countries? The huge loss of domestic spending by immigrants' remittance is spotlighted in a new report by the Pew Research Center, which also noted that $6.5 billion was sent back to the United States by foreign-based U.S. workers. That is a 21-fold difference and is enough money to support 2.6 billion million additional $50,000 a year jobs in the United States. You wonder why we don't have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out? Because it's all, there's just a handful of aristocrats, international aristocrats, who think it's all just here for whatever they can get out of it. And we're just a part of the deal. They would sell us. Well, they have sold us. What am I saying? The remittance number is based on calculations by the World Bank. The leading recipients of the exported remittances are people in Mexico, China, and India, reflecting the growing size of Chinese and Indian migration into the United States. No shit. Think about that, people. We've talked about how, you know, if we'd have stayed a nation, you know, as a nation within our own borders, doing business with one another, and selling, if something's to be sold, if we sell it back and forth to one another, it always belongs to us. This is the only way they could dispossess us. Many of the Chinese and Indian migrants work in once prestigious but now lower wage white-collar science or computer jobs. Told you so. The annual drain of $140 billion is only 0.75% of the $18,624 billion U.S. economy in 2016. What, I mean, that's got to come to a trillion. 2016. Also, the money does eventually zigzag its way back to the United States as foreign families spend those dollars to buy products, some of which are made in America. What, a frickin' handful? What kind of bullshit statement is that? Find me something made in America. But the huge scale of foreign remittances adds to the economic losses and redistribution imposed by the federal policy of goosing economic growth with the large-scale immigration of 1 million workers and consumers every year. 4 million Americans turn 18 each year and begin looking for jobs in the free market. But the federal government inflates the supply of new labor annually by accepting roughly 1.1 million new legal migrants. How many illegals come in with them? About five times that amount, including roughly 750,000 working age migrants. Our jobs are here for them. This whole fucking country's theirs, okay? It's for these foreign sons of bitch. Anybody but an American national, it's for you. By providing work permits to roughly 3 million resident foreigners and by doing little to block the employment of roughly 8 million illegal immigrants. And if they say 8, you can go three times that. 24 million. More than 100,000 unaccompanied migrant children released into the United States since fiscal year 2016. This is from Breitbart again. And you know what the thing is? I seen a little piece on the Stupid Box. They were talking about how, you know, Trump said he's going to give this amnesty and for these and the unaccompanied children are pouring across the border right now, people. And they can say, well, he's down there. He's really, I don't give a shit. They got this law in place where they just step over the border. You just get your ass here. And you, if you're a minor, they can't throw you out. It's in this article. Have a listen. Immigration officials released more than 100,000 unaccompanied alien children apprehended at the border into the United States interior since fiscal year 2016. White House officials state that many of the family members of these minors, mostly from Central America, paid criminal organizations to smuggle their children into the United States. But this is because it's how they take your country away from you. They smuggle their kids in. You can't tell them to leave. Oh, no, their kids, they have to stay. And while you got to reunite them with their parents, because we can't have broken families of these foreigners. In just over 2 years, federal law forced immigration officials to release more than 100,000 UACs. And see, here's the court cases where we'll say, well, we're not going to let the parent. Oh, we have court cases and the communists are going to rule that these people have rights, even if you and I don't. Into the United States, according to the White House, UACs are defined as U.S. Customs and Border Protection as migrants under the age of 18 who arrive at the border without an adult family member and MS-13 gang tattoos all over them. I mean, people. They're killing down there by the time they're 12, 13 years old. Make no mistake, you're talking Honduras. In fiscal year 2016, Border Patrol agents apprehended 52,147 UACs. The following year, agents apprehended an additional 42,146. During the first 3 months of fiscal year 2018, agents apprehended another, this is just in the first 3 months of 2018, we ain't at 3 months into 2018. That can't be. During the first 3 months of fiscal year 2018, January, February. No, we ain't. I don't get it. See how they get that. That must be a misprint. They must mean 2017. Agents apprehended another 7,624, according to an Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR, report obtained by Breitbart Texas. Current law requires immigration officials to turn over UACs crossing the border to ORR officials within 72 hours. The ORR must then promptly place them in the least restrictive setting in the best interest of the child. White House Director of Surrogate and Coalitions Outreach, Kelly Sandler, wrote in an email provided to Breitbart Texas, this often forces the ORR to release the minors to family members or other sponsors living in the United States. Oftentimes, these are the same family members that paid drug cartels and other violent criminals to transport these minors into the... What does an invasion really have to look like for you to call it a goddamn invasion, what it is? And to say that these dirty criminal foreign agents that are occupying our highest seats of power are not accommodating and pushing this goddamn invasion. Try to tell yourself it ain't so. Violent criminals to transport these minors to the United States. Frequently, these family members are also illegally present in the United States, Sandler stated, but that's okay. They got the kids here. And when you got the kids there, oh, man, you wouldn't tear that family apart, that little family of MS-13 gang members, would you? After being released in the United States in order to appear before an immigration judge, may fail to appear for their hearing date. During the past three fiscal years, 66% of all removal orders for DACs result from the UACs disappearing. Resulted from the UACs disappearing. The UACs released into the United States place a tremendous financial burden on the state where they are released. Think about the money they're shipping out, and then we're paying for this. The states must pick up the cost of educating these children. State taxpayers also pick up the tab for these children's health care costs. And don't forget the welfare and everything. You feed them. You do everything. You're raising them. They're your children, man. They're your responsibility. The top three states. Let your kids starve, though. I mean, your kids can wear ragged-ass clothes so these son of a bitches can wear the best that the system has to offer them, these communist bastards. The top three states receiving these children are California with 17,401, Texas 15,953, and Florida 13,063. The surge of minors and families from Central America has been going on for nearly 6 years and shows no sign of abating. CIS Director of Policy Studies Jessica Vaughn told Breitbart Texas, it is the most urgent border security issue that needs to be resolved. I mean, and this is from the murder capital of the world, old Honduras, man. They're pumping them in here. Why? Oh, maybe they'll tell us on down in here what the true purpose here is. The placement of these children has been a fiscal disaster for communities that have had to absorb them, mainly because of the impact on the schools, which have struggled to deal with the sudden arrival of so many ill-prepared kids and so few funding. And it ain't no fucking funding them. Get them out of here. Where in the hell, show me where we gave them the authority to dictate this kind of shit to us. This is, when did we become responsible for the children of the world? My nation state has just been turned over as a United Nations goddamn daycare center? The placement of these children has been a fiscal disaster. We have struggled to deal with the sudden arrival, Vang explained. In June 2014, Breitbart Texas Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief Brandon Darby released a series of photographs from the federal government showing massive numbers of unaccompanied minors warehoused in shoddy detention facilities. Oh, we can't have this, man. Take my home. They're somewhere shoddy. Our goddamn people are living in fucking tents across this country, and that's okay. But these goddamn foreigners, well, it's their country, you see. This does belong to the United Nations, and they've declared that it's for the third world to inhabit. In addition to more than 100,000 UACs released into the United States over the past 27 months, Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 167,000 family units, unit aliens. I mean, they got all these FMUAs along the southwestern border with Mexico, mostly in Texas. Officials define FMUAs as alien children who are accompanied by an adult claiming to be a relative or guardian. You can't throw the guardian. That's all they got. And so what, did you see what they're trying to shove, get us to accept? The growth of the FMUA apprehension soared by more than 625% over the past several months. That's because they just heard there's going to be amnesty. They tricked them into it, man. They're going to be in the amnesty. Get ready for the next amnesty. If you get here fast enough, you can get in on this amnesty. Who in the hell knows who was here and when? They admit they don't know. Nearly all these family units are released into the interior of the United States because of unreasonable, burdensome, judicial-imposed constraints on ICE authority to detain the entire family units as a result of recent rulings in the Flores Consent Decree legislation, Kelly Sandler stated. So they've got legislation in place to protect. Goddamn, they can do anything they want to you and me. They can kill us for selling cigarettes. They can just beat us to death for something to do. But these frickin' foreigners, man, oh my God, how can we do more for them? That's all I need to know. Most of the UACs and AUCs and FMUAs traveled to the United States from El Salvador, Honduras, the murder capital of the world, and Guatemala, a close second, gotta be. These UACs and the minors who are part of the FMUA numbers are not only a financial burden to the states, violent criminal gangs such as MS-13 frequently prey on the minors. No, they are the minors. God damn it, we've seen it. I mean, the way they try to mealy-mouth around shit. No, they are. This is who they're sending in. Minors enforce them, I mean, they're all from Honduras, and I know another one's forcing another one to participate in their criminal activities in the United States. Federal records reveal that one-third of MS-13 gang members arrested by law enforcement in recent weeks could have been classified as UACs. They're making them do it when they get here. That's what it is, guys. They're not shipping this shit in. When they entered the United States illegally, Breitbart, Texas, reported in December 2017, violent gangs have exploded. Exploited. I liked exploit because they've exploded too. Exploited the catch and release policies to bring in new, quote, foot soldiers. Yeah, I see it. Okay. Jessica Vaughn told Breitbart, Texas, the result has been a crime wave that has taken a big toll on the quality of life in the communities in Texas. What did we tell you they were being shipped here for? And it's going to be, you're going to have that gun death epidemic, you know, the guns used in this epidemic across the country. So now we got to go after the guns because it's like Chicago, you know, when you get done taking all the guns away, then only your hoodlums that have the guns. And hell, you took the whole country without even really a goddamn battle. We have identified hundreds of crimes by youth who entered as UACs who are affiliated with MS-13. Vane continued, the Department of Homeland Security now has a huge job to do to clean it up. Oh, but I mean, you love this. We're in. It's going to take a lot of money. We really need to clean this mess up. We made. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Comes a time, man, when you just got to say no more. I mean, how in the hell can anybody go along with this even a little bit more? You're seeing this shit every day. It's rubbed in your face. I mean, Trumpy coming up there. Oh, yeah, this invasion's happening. They are taking your goddamn country from you people. I wish I had the answer. I wish I could say, let's all be right down here at this time, this date, and we're going to go down here. We're just going to start this shit and just get it done. But it's impossible. It's not going to happen until these son of a bitches step. I mean, it's going to take gun confiscation, maybe. It's going to have to be something that everybody can't. I mean, you just can't. Each person, you know, if it ain't happening to them, you can find a way to ignore it for the day or the next day until it comes. A mass gun confiscation, that's what's needed. We should have got Hillary Clinton in there, I'm telling you. Hillary Clinton, you'd have been having your gun. We could have got this shit going. But these people, I mean, I keep watching them come up on Fox News and they're in their interview. These people are fucking retards. Well, he's doing a real good, I like the way he put it up to the, he put it in the face of the Democrats because he offered them everything they want on immigration now, but he wants the wall. They don't want to give the wall. Bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. This is a production. And you're falling for it hook, line, and sinker, and it's not our people. It's that fucking handful that they will put the cameras on. And that's what goes across the nation here. That's what everybody sees. Well, God damn, they look pretty stupid, but what the hell? Everybody must be stupid except me. No, no, there's just that handful down there. But God damn it, somebody needs to be taking those bastards to task. And that's really where we're at here. We talk about confronting people. The confrontations have got to become more aggressive. Get right in their face. I'll spit right on them. You dirty son of a bitches. Look what you're doing to my... You sit there and go along with this. I'm reading this shit, what that's going on right now. And we've said this is going on. At the same time, these people over there, he's really dealing tough with them on immigration. You pissheads. The Department of Homeland Security now has a huge job to do to clean it up. But it needs help. But it needs help from Congress in the form of money. We got to pay. They made another mess. You and I got to clean up for some reason here, people. Did we ask for this shit? No, but you're going to, I mean, this is your burden. It's your burden. And tweaks to the law so that these gang members do not get legalized in the amnesty Congress is so eager to pass. Did you just hear what I read you? And this is what's fucking getting ready to happen. That's why they're pouring across right now. Ones that went across that board, they're coming across that board. The day that dirty treasonous son of a bitch signs that amnesty, that day, ones that cross the border the next day are going to be on that amnesty. Make no mistake about it. There's a mad rush here. This is what that bastard has done for us. The Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. Did you hear that? The Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008, signed by George W. Bush, that treasonous piece of shit, prohibits immigration officials from returning UACs apprehended at the border to their home country. Like I said, that's why they're shipping their kids over here, because you can't do nothing, or you just got to take them. And once they're there, we're coming too. Get out of your house. I mean, first take my kids into your house, and then when I get there, get out, because it's my house now. God damn, man. I mean, Hitler might have took over the goddamn planet if he could have figured a strategy out like this. Invade and call it goddamn a racism or anything you want to call it. Oh, you can't. No, you can't stop the invasion. They don't have any guns. They're taking over your body politic. They're goddamn, they're everywhere you look, your language is fucking going away. You can't order a goddamn hamburger unless you know a foreign language. This should be a sign that, we're being invaded, we're being taken over. Can't apprehend to the border, to their home country. The White House is asking Congress to address this often exploited law. I mean, exploited, hell, it was put here for this. This is all on purpose. You don't fuck up like this, okay? Nobody's that big of a fuck up. Not this government of in this occupation government. I mean, it's not a fuck up. The White House is also considering a plan to remove these children from their family members who put them in danger by turning them over to criminal organizations in order to smuggle them into the U.S. Breitbart, Texas report. I mean, how bizarre does it have to get? But I'm going to tell you something. This ain't like taking kids away from an American national. You know, somebody who's got, you know, a good family and won't get, let them get vaccinated or decides to homeschool them. This ain't like that. You touch one of these little son of a bitches, man, you will have the full weight of the admiralty down on your head. It's cruel for parents to place the lives of their children in the hands of transnational criminal organizations and smugglers who have zero respect for human life that is paid for with your goddamn money, make no mistake, and often abuse or abandon children. Acting DHS Press Secretary Tyler Holton said in a written statement, she explained the administration is committed to exploring all possible measures to protect children. Now that's it. You goddamn, we want to take over. Can't you send your children? Just invade with children. Nobody can touch them, and they have to go in. I mean, just drain them dry until they're goddamn. You put so many children on them, they're broke and then go in. They'll sell all their guns for a loaf of bread to feed your children. And you can just go in and take them over the ditch and put them out of their goddamn misery. Oh, man, this one here, we're coming up on the break, but this was one I caught earlier. In a major free speech victory, a federal court strikes down a law that punishes supporters of Israel's boycott. And here again is a lower court thing, and they're cheering this on. This should have never been. I mean, when the first words first came out of somebody's mouth that you were going to use the power of the United States government to tell the individual that they couldn't boycott Israel. That should have been, there's a lot of things that should have been it. Let's be honest with one another. We're way past when it should have happened. This is from The Intercept. It was sent in by Randy for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. A federal judge on Tuesday ruled that a Kansas law designed to punish people who boycott Israel is unconstitutional. No shit. But you had to, instead of this being, a prima facie thing where you had to have two individuals involved, instead of this woman in this case going to that bitch or the bastard that tried to deny her the contracts, federal contracts, because of her political beliefs, it's not how it works. You see, you have to have these institutions. It has to be one communist collective after another. And and in the mix of it, they're just like with the Bundys. They're still putting down goddamn establishing that they can do it. That's what comes from all this bullshit. They had the best lawyers and they backed them down. But you know what? They took your ass through that and they couldn't. They did not have the authority. It's not supposed to be that when your rights are violated, you go and you go through the administrative process, go to prison, go through appeals processes right up for, doing 5-6 years in prison, then finally get a stand up there and go, that violates my rights. Oh, no. It was supposed to be that when we assert our rights, right there on the goddamn spot, everything stops. You cannot violate my rights. We're going straight to a goddamn court. You and me, and we're going to see if you even have the authority to be talking to me. But see, that's how they switched it all 180 degrees around. Instead of it being that the government's legislation was struck down right at the get-go, the first challenge. You just walk, nope, violates my fourth article, right? Violates my fifth article, right? And it stopped there. And the burden of proof was on the goddamn government to prove. This is when they were in getting rid of your common law and working, switching it into admiralty, twisting it around the attorneys. But even at that, the burden of proof, remember, you guys ever remember those old days when you say, well, the burden of proof is on the state. So it came down to that shit stops until you can prove it's constitutional. Not until I can prove it ain't. You don't get inflicted on me while I go through your administrative admiralty courts for 10 years and have my rights violated for 10 years until I can prove it's wrong. You have to prove it's right before you even frickin' try it. And if you aren't right, I get to grab you as an individual and yank you into that common law court and take every fucking thing you own and have you imprisoned for a civil crime. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFDT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Fast on.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1238 Pacific Time and that was Kid Rock with Born Free, and we were in this major free speech victory. Of course, they told us that, they told them, Jews, that those people do have this right. I'm sure that they'll take, I mean, this court will be dealt with. But we were at an unconstitutional denial of free speech. The ruling is a significant victory for free speech rights because the global campaign to criminalize or otherwise legally outlaw the boycott, and we've talked about it, divestment and sanctions movement has been spreading rapidly in numerous political and academic centers in the United States. This judicial decision definitely declares those efforts, when they manifest in the U.S., to be a different direct infringement of a base of basic first article rights guaranteed by the United States Constitution, no guaranteed by the people one to the other. The enjoined law enacted last year by the Kansas legislature requires all state contractors, as a prerequisite to receiving any paid work from the state, to certify that they are not engaged in a boycott of Israel. The month before the law was implemented, Esther Kuntz, a Mennonite who works in a curriculum teacher as a curriculum teacher for the Kansas public school system, decided that she would boycott goods made in Israel, motivated in part by a film she had seen detailing the abuse of Palestinians by the occupying Israeli government, and in part by a resolution enacted by the National Mennonite Church. The resolution acknowledged the cry for justice of Palestinians, especially those living under oppressive military occupation for 50 years, vowed to oppose military occupation and to seek just peace in Israel and Palestine, and argued individuals and congregations to avoid the purchase of products associated with acts of violence or policies of military occupation, including items produced in Israeli settlements. A month after this law became effective, Kuntz, having just completed a training program to teach new courses, was offered a position at a new Kansas school. But as the court recounts, the program director asked Ms. Kuntz to sign a certification confirming that she was not participating in a boycott of Israel as the Kansas law requires. Kuntz ultimately replied that she was unable to, or and unwilling to, sign such an oath because she is in fact participating in a boycott of Israel. As a result, she was told that no contract could be signed by with her. Now, the people who did this, now see, this is what, you go and get your remedy in their goddamn admiralty courts. But the bottom line is, this was a crime committed. This was a crime against the Bill of Rights. And it's going to go unpunished, just like what happened there in Vegas with these trials and stuff. You know, that's what is lost in all this. These are crimes against the Bill of Rights, which makes them a crime against every American national in this sovereign country. And they're not being punished, so there is no deterrent. So they'll just keep pushing and pushing until it goes away. Because they're suffering no consequences for their actions, is the point. In response to being denied this job due to her political views, Kuntz retained the American Civil Liberties Union, which sued in the admiralty the Commissioner of Education, asking a federal court to enjoin enforcement of the law on the grounds that denying Kuntz a job due to her boycotting of Israel violates her. I mean, it's all, you know, First Amendment. No, it's the first article. And this, I mean, it's all being lost through bullshit like this. The court on Tuesday agreed and preliminary enforcement of the law, which means they put an injunction on it. The ruling is significant, which was going to be appealed to the next court, and finally up to a panel of Jew judges that are going to say it's okay. And maybe this is what we need. I mean, something we need the full oppression, so to wake the people up to the fact that, God damn it, you got to fight. There's no getting around it. It has to be done, and shit, the longer we wait to do it, it's getting to be a bigger mess to clean up every day. The ruling is significant for two independent reasons. The first is the defective and emphatic nature of the ruling. The court dispensed with an oft-repeated mythical belief about free speech rights, namely that they only bar the government from imprisoning or otherwise actively punishing someone for their views, but do not bar them from withholding optional benefits such as employment contracts as retaliation for those views. Very little effort is required to see why such a proposition is wrong. Just imagine a law which provided that only people who believe in liberalism or conservatism will be eligible for unemployment benefits or college loans. Few would have trouble understanding the direct assault on free speech guarantees posed by such a law. The same is true of a law that denies any other benefit, including employment contracts, based on the state's disapproval of one's political views, as the court explained in its ruling. We've gotten so far away from what's supposed to be that we're actually talking about. This is actually happening right in front of our eyes. This should, I mean, you go back, it always goes back to the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, and the Federalist Papers tell you don't need that Bill of Rights, you don't need that. We have no power. We could never do anything with this little contract you gave us. Really? Even more important is the court's categorical decree that participating in boycotts is absolutely protected by the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech and petition rights, citing a 1982 U.S. Supreme Court. See, they're just establishing that they have some frickin' say over this. They don't. It should be person on person. Whoever did this to her, acting under color of authority, should have been taken as that person had everything they own taken from them. No, I'm not suing the state. I'm not suing taxpayers. I'm suing you, you son of a bitch. Here, you know better than this. And I'm going to see you put in jail for it. Guarantee of free speech and petition rights, citing a 1982 U.S. Supreme case that invoked free speech rights to protect members of the NAACP from punishment by the state of Mississippi for boycotting white-owned stores. The court in the Kansas case pointedly ruled that the First Amendment protects the rights to, First Article protects the right to participate in a boycott. In doing so, it explained that the core purpose of the Kansas law is to punish those who are critical of Israeli occupation and are working to end it. The Kansas law's legislative history reveals that its goal is to undermine the message of those participating in a boycott of Israel. This is either viewpoint discrimination against the opinion that Israel mistreats Palestinians or subject matter discrimination on the topic of Israel. Indeed, it's hard to imagine a law that more directly violates the First Article's guarantees of free speech than one that seeks to deny people benefits for which everyone else is eligible due solely to the state's disapproval of their political views. Now, see, the wealth of this country is being run through that goddamn communist machine. And this is how they compel performance. They take money by force from one man, and then they use it to compel performance out of another man. They've starved down. You want your bread? You're going to do what I tell you, boy. Because I'm buying the bread with your neighbor's money over there who thinks the same way you do. But we've taken control of the apparatus. Now, if this, the money that was coming from our natural resources that is being produced, that this goddamn, that these thieves are stealing, was coming directly to the people in annuities, they couldn't do this to us, could they? What would they say? You're not going to get your annuity. We're going to take your property that belongs to you because you're not going along with your Israeli masters. Well, then whoever said that to you, I guess his ass would be drug into a common law court, and you'd get his annuities too, wouldn't you? They keep trying to, what they're going to try to do at this point in the ballgame is try to sell us back into there's some kind of way to get to a justice here. No, this isn't justice. This, what I'm reading here, everybody is praising this shit. This ain't justice. Justice would be the people who wrote that son of a bitch, that wrote that treason, that sedition, were arrested, tried, convicted, and hung in the public square for thinking they could do such a thing to the people, for even suggesting it. The intent is definitely there, wouldn't you say? State's disapproval of political views and activism, since that's exactly what this Kansas law did, the court concluded that it was unconstitutional, frickin' duh. But this is, they knew this. I'm telling you, they're setting the groundwork right here, is what they're doing. They're going to establish that the state and their phony goddamn admiralty courts can actually define the rights and qualify the rights. And when they want to change that definition and that qualification, they will do so because you've already said, well, we can go back to this court case. You said, we did. It's established law. Don't you know? Beyond the courts, emphatic rationale, the decision is significant because repressive measures like this have spread and continue to spread far beyond Kansas. Indeed, we have repeatedly reported and documented the single greatest threat to free speech in the West and in the United States is the coordinated growing campaign to outlaw and punish those who advocate for or participate in activism to end the Israeli occupation. What kind of power are those bastards wielding in your country? 1.4% of your population. Who are your masters, people? Who are your masters? Numerous other U.S. states have implemented similar measures as the one in Kansas, including New York, where we previously reported Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order directing all agencies to terminate any and all businesses with companies or organizations that support a boycott to Israel. Now, see, all these companies and all this contracting wouldn't exist. But in the real world, if this what did exist, if the common law was in place, you just go, if you're one of these people that this son of a bitch said he could take your contract away because of your political beliefs, you walk over there and tap that treasonous bastard on the shoulder. Say, you're under arrest for violation of my first, my fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth article rights. And I'm taking your ass to jail. And you can go peaceably or I'll beat your ass down right here and drag your bloody carcass into the jail myself. And then you would go and you would charge him, not the mayor, Andrew Cuomo, the person, and you would get everything, you get a jury and show them where, you know, I want this son of a bitch punished. He's spitting on our Bill of Rights, people, and I want him punished. What I want for my red wrist is I want everything that dirty son of a bitch owns, and I want him to spend 10 years hard labor beating down rocks into goddamn gravel. And the jury says, yep, those are our rights. That son of a bitch is in clear violation. The facts support your claim, sir. Mr. Cuomo, You're broke and you're on a goddamn rock pile. This shit would stop quick, wouldn't it? It wouldn't happen, people. And requiring that one of his commissioners compile a list of institutions and companies that either directly or through a parent or subsidiary support a boycott. As the New York Civil Liberties Union told The Intercept at the time about Cuomo's order, whenever the government creates a blacklist based on political views, it raises serious First Amendment concerns, and this is no exception. See, we shouldn't be talking about government. These are individuals doing this under the color of law. They goddamn well know better, and see, if it wasn't for the injunction on your Bill of Rights, on your common law, and your removal of your courts, you could take these son of a bitches. All this would be solved by the people. They keep telling, we know we've got to have more government, this government over here, get the more politicians in there, it's the only chance we got. No, you're feeding fuel to the fire. What needs to happen is the goddamn common law courts go back into action and just common people go up to you, son of a bitch, and just start tapping them on the shoulder. And I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, they would be fleeing this country. They'd be trying to grab the wealth they stole and flee this country before you got a hold of them. It wouldn't take long. Last year, a measure sponsored by Benjamin Cardin, a Democratic senator from Maryland and an AIPAC loyalist, that is a foreign agent, joined by 43 other foreign agents, which are senators, went even further, proposing to impose prison sentences and large fines on anyone working with international organizations to boycott Israel. Only after the ACLU, and I don't see that's why they keep throwing it in there, that there's no more commie, ACLU is a part of it. They have done so much to tear apart our Bill of Rights, it ain't even funny. But the thing here is ACLU, no, that's another illegal goddamn collective that needs to be quashed out. They all need to be taken out, tried and hung, period. Vehemently denounced the bill as it gave First Amendment, as a grave First Amendment attack, that would punish individuals for no reason other than their political beliefs, did several senators say were reconsidering their support. I bet they are. Indeed, it's hard to overstate how pervasive and mainstream these attempts to illegally suppress criticism of Israel have become. We're a living example. And you know, nobody looks down here into the invisible people calling those kikes out for what they are. And you know, we've suffered for it. We've suffered at the hand of the power of Israel in our goddamn country, the running sedition committed by the agents of Israel in our country with the consent of the traitors that are occupying our highest seats of power. Indeed, it's hard to overstate how pervasive and mainstream these attempts to illegally suppress criticism of Israel have become, including in the United States, as the legal advocacy organization Palestinian Legal told The Intercept yesterday. Since 2014, over 100 anti-boycott measures similar to the one blocked in Kansas have been introduced in the United States, at least 24 of them enacted. Palestine Legal responded to 308 suppressions incidents in 2017 and nearly 1,000 in the first year, 4 years. The report issued by the group this week details just some of the efforts. Hurricane Harvey victims were required to pledge not to boycott Israel to receive relief aid. An NYC bookstore hid a children's book about Palestine after calls for censorship. Just that little 1.4%, boy, they can get anything done anywhere right now. Who's the power in this country? A Palestinian-American professor at San Francisco State was sued for researching and teaching about Palestine. This is where you know you got goddamn communists in it. Like I said, the ACLU, this is the communists trying to act like there's some kind of activist for the people, because they think there's this election thing is going to keep going on and they're going to steer the people, you know, all the people that had said, you know, fuck Trump, he lied to us. Well, just find another cause to grab onto. Like, well, those ACLU and them communists are sure to. A black student leader at the University of Wisconsin was condemned for speaking out against the connections between white supremacy and Zionism by Trump's nominee to head the U.S. Department of Education office. See, this is who's doing this. See, this is put together very well, a lot of money behind it. But this is the communists themselves and the same people, the Zionists are behind it. But they try to establish some kind of credibility, because they have no credibility at this point in the ballgame. But they're going to try to act like they're the advocates of your free speech. Why they would take your second article away, your third, your fourth, fifth, sixth, all the rest of them. But this is the kind of games that these dirty communist pricks play. So widespread are attempts to punish and repress speech and activism aimed at ending the Israeli occupation that the Center for Constitutional Rights has dubbed this movement the Palestine Exemption to free speech rights in the United States. And see, you're talking about here, the Center for Constitutional Rights has dubbed the movement the Center for Constitutional Rights. Now, if there was really such a thing out there, I mean, our Bill of Rights is trampled on. Our common law courts are removed. But we are paying for, no doubt, out of our pockets, a Center for Constitutional Rights that is just playing these goddamn games with us, like with this issue right here. The time will come if the Israelis wanted laws in this country, and that were to be enforced draconianly, they would have it. This they're trying to play because they're playing with 75% of the population they don't control, and it's heavily armed. They're playing with fire, and they know it. So they're trying to, you know, make some kind of an argument where, you know, right now, the way things set right now, if the communists came back in, or, you know, just what, it's falling apart right in front of our eyes. But I mean, it would just be like, you're not going to gain a goddamn inch. In fact, man, that's the one that's going to do it. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. We know we got to fix this. The federal court ruling from yesterday is a ringing endorsement of the vital constitutional principle that people cannot be punished by the United States government or state governments due to disapproval of their political activism and viewpoints, even if the goal is to protect the Israeli government and its decades-long illegal occupation from criticism and activism. The direct result of the ruling is that the Kansas state government is barred from continuing to force teachers and other state residents to take an oath to refrain from boycotting Israel upon pain of being denied contracts. But the broader and more enduring effect may be to emphasize just how authoritarian, repressive, and contrary to core civil liberties. See, civil liberties, no, we got to get away from that. Civil liberties are, these are rights guaranteed to a subject by a king as a civil liberty. We have absolutely guaranteed natural rights, and they are enshrined in our Bill of Rights. They are the maximums and the procedure for our common law, and we need our common law courts back so we can exercise that authority and clean this goddamn mess up. We're going to have to do it with guns. But in the mix of guns, when we do start charging these bastards, this is how it's going to be done. Civil liberties, the global attempt to abuse the power of law to criminalize or suppress this free expression in the name of protecting Israeli occupation is. And so, like I said, this is another game, and the Zionists are behind it. Of course they can't do this. We've been pretty dumbed down and told that our Bill of Rights ain't around no more. But by God, if you can read that first article, they can't do this, can they? Did you need these assholes here to tell you that? But again, the people who perpetrated this for this production, they're not going to be punished for the crimes that they committed. And they did commit crimes. We're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of the word from the trenches. Until then, just ratchet it up. And that is the word from the trenches.